You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east.
All right, everybody. Now, there's a Halloween song, if there ever was one. We're sprinkling in some of the music of the season. Halloween is a rich holiday steeped in European traditions. And we're going to tell you a little bit more about the history of Halloween before we round out tonight's show. You know, we've been celebrating 10 years on the air all month, but our actual birthday is not until tomorrow. It was October 26th, 2004. The night that I first hosted a live broadcast of the Political Cesspool. You know, I wish I had Doc Brown's DeLorean from the Back to the Future movies. I'd hop in that bad boy and fly back to the studio 10 years ago tomorrow and go in and look at that young man and say, son, you don't have any idea what's going to happen to you. But it has been a ride that I wouldn't trade for anything in the world. And I would have suffered it all 100 times worse just to be in that room with those people last night, and just to have each and every one of you tuned in this evening, to know that we have a show that means so much to so many, a show that provides people with hope and encouragement, entertainment, education, and more. It's an honor, the likes of which I would never, ever, ever give up, and I look forward to doing this. I look forward to celebrating a 20th anniversary with all you good people, and let me tell you, if it goes by as fast as the last 10 years have gone, we'll be there tomorrow, or at least it'll seem that way. That song, Monster Mash, my daughter has really been into that song. We have a 4-year-old daughter, Isabel. She's about to be a big sister. I don't know if I told you all this or not. Well, I know I did, but I'll say it again. I'm going to be a daddy again on Monday. My son, the heir, will be here. Henry McGregor is the name. McGregor is the surname of my maternal grandparents, and harkens to our Scottish roots. We have English and Scottish blood, as so many Southerners do, coursing through our veins. Anyway, we're going to talk more about last week's event. Business as usual next week, folks, so savor these last few segments of tonight's broadcast, this and the next hour. We're going to get back to all the news that isn't quite so uplifting next week. I do promise you that. But let's take a couple of calls. The phone lines are lighting up. Is it Diane in Illinois? Diane in Illinois.
Hi.
Diane,
yes,
are you there?
Diane. My husband Leo and I were there last week. And
God
bless
you. I just
want to say thank you. We had a wonderful time. It was an honor to meet you, Keith Alexander and Eddie Miller and all the other speakers. Really felt like we were talking to family. We were treated like family.
Well, you are
really
family.
Nice to, you know, talk to people that think like we do and aren't afraid to say it. I had a really nice talk with Eddie Miller about nursing, so we had that in common.
Diane, I'm so thankful that you called in to share that, because, you know, again, there's that word again that we keep using. You know, I've used it, it seems, for 10 years. Family, family, family. We say it every show, because I truly feel as though you and Leo are part of my family, and that everybody that was there were, and everybody that couldn't be there are also part of
yeah.
it. Just because they couldn't be there, you're still part of the family too, folks. I know, you know, it was
well,
a major
thank
undertaking.
You.
Some people invested their annual vacation, and it wasn't a cheap journey to get to Memphis and stay the weekend. You know, you're talking $500 to $1,000, I'm sure, by the time you factoring gas and airfare and all the other stuff, hotel accommodations. So it was a big undertaking that we had the crowd that we did, a capacity crowd. Well, it just it gave us all chills. And I thank y'all for being part of it, and I thank you for calling tonight, ma'am.
Thank you. And I want to say good luck with the birth of your child. We wish you all the best. Your wife and daughter are beautiful.
Well, thank you.
And keep up the good work. And don't wait 10 years to do this again.
I was being a little facetious, you know. I think after last weekend, I don't think wild horses could keep me from doing. Could keep me 10 years from doing this again. I don't know when we'll do it again, but it won't be that long. I promise you that. And thank you for the compliments of my family. I'm very proud of them. And we will be putting pictures to the blog next week when baby boy gets here on the scene. And thanks again. Let's go to Richie in New Orleans before we hit the next commercial break. Richie, you're about 6 hours south of me down I-55. How you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm doing great. I think I'm a little more, maybe 7 to 8 hours straight up 55. But we're right down on the same mighty Mississippi.
Hey, I love that. You know, we were down on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, in the muddy Mississippi, with Sam and Kurt from Liberty News Radio, with Eddie and Keith. And we were watching these barges going upstream against that massive current, going about 1 mile an hour. We stayed there an hour, it seems, and he made it about 10 feet. But, yeah, the Mississippi River is something to behold. We could have got on a raft and just sailed on down to you. What can we do for you
come
tonight?
Come on down with Huck Finn, huh?
We'll do it.
Are you going to get to the one-eyed, one-horned, purple people eater later on the bump music tonight?
Hey, if you could, Richie, back away from the phone just a little bit. You're coming in a little hot. I do believe that we have that. If we don't, we'll work it in by request. Sheb Woolley.
Great.
Sheb Woolley.
I'd like your opinion on Harold Covington and the Northwest Front and the whole concept of, you know, a white massive migration to stake a claim in what's going to be left of this continent.
Okay. Yeah, thank you for the call, Richie. I'll answer that right now. And I do appreciate the call, and call in any time. You're talking about the Northwest Front. It's a good idea. You know, we actually had a guy on by the name of Corey Burnell a few years ago. I saw him on the O'Reilly Factor one night. This was way back in 2005. And he was promoting a similar initiative to what Harold Covington is doing up in the Pacific Northwest. It was called Christian Exodus. And basically, because South Carolina is one of the most conservative and Christian, southern-oriented states in the Union, he wanted all people that think like us to go and move to South Carolina and to start taking over small towns in South Carolina, taking over the local government there, and then letting that continue to spread until you take the whole state. And I know Harold Covington has a similar thought process up there where he's from in the Pacific Northwest. And the Pacific Northwest is very beautiful, and there's a lot of reasons that our people would want to live up there in terms of the demographics. The only problem, and I'm all for these. And listen, I am for any idea. Let a tree bring forth 1,000 blooms, and let's see which one will bear fruit. The only problem about these things is, you know, it's hard enough to get people to contribute $25 to help keep the show on the air. It's hard enough to get people to travel down to Memphis for a weekend. When you start talking about people uprooting their families and moving to another state where they don't know anybody, where they don't necessarily have job prospects, it's a tall order. Could it work? Well, yeah, if enough people do it, it will, and it can. But are you going to get are you going to reach critical mass? Are you going to get enough people to move to another state? Well, I haven't seen it happen yet. We got to take a break.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0-degree sleeping bag. This comfortable, family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
Whoa! This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guy's giant factory authorized sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high quality Mountain House freeze dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now's the time to stock up with the finest, best tasting, longest proven shelf life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the giant factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Very long ago, a month or two ago, that Ghostbusters celebrated its 30th anniversary, 30 years since that movie came out, and it's a great movie. I want to read now a review. We have a couple of reviews of the event that have been posted to thepoliticalcesspool.org. One, a quick blurb written by me that I put up there right after the event. I guess it was on Monday. Wilburn Sprayberry wrote a more definitive review of the gathering. But I've got one here that was written by Harry Seabrook, former founding editor of the Christian website Spirit, Water, Blood. I'm going to try to read it all before the next commercial break. It's a bit lengthy, but if I speed read, I can work it in. Every word packs a punch, though. It was one of the most meaningful things that has ever been sent to me, and he took the time to write this. And here's what it reads. It was in the fall of 2004, shortly after James Edwards debuted the Political Cesspool Show, that a friend of mine who was helping Reagan appointee Bob Whitaker promote his book, Why Johnny Can't Think, sent me a recording of Whitaker's first Political Cesspool appearance. This was before internet streaming of the show had been enabled. I recorded it to a cassette tape so that I could listen to it while driving. As I listened, I realized that I had never before heard anything like this on the radio. I can still remember where I was and what I was doing when I first heard the Political Cesspool. It was one of those moments. I knew I was listening to a very unique show, but if I had been told at the time that James would go on to build such a breathtaking list of accomplishments and guest interviews, I would have been surprised. He goes on to say that I would have been even more surprised to know that in 2014 it would be my privilege to be in Memphis to help James and his co-hosts in a ballroom full of friends and loyal supporters celebrate a decade of broadcasting and an illustrious career that has only just begun. The value of the show is deeper than merely charisma, information, and controversy. It goes beyond independence from the mainstream media. James and his co-hosts have balanced issues of race, ethno-nationalism, history, politics, and culture with the Christian faith, which makes all the world come into focus. There is no conservatism without order, no order without structure, and no structure unless flesh and spirit are viewed as complementary of the human soul. Today, we hear too many preachers say that faith is all that matters. We hear too many nationalists say that race is all that matters. And the vast majority of young people today have been trained to believe that neither matters. James is in the vanguard of those who seek to restore balance, and in doing so, he is in lockstep with our noble forefathers who gave us all that we have as our inheritance. Where there is no vision, our people perish. Vision that will rescue our people requires thinking in terms of a nation rather than a country, a people rather than a populace, a kindred rather than a constituency, a community rather than consumers, families, tribes, rather than flag-waving zombies for the usury-founded war machine. It requires a worldview of family, folk, and faith. Everyone is searching for identity. To us, identity means distinction. To the enemies of Christ, it means uniformity. The difference between those two poles is the difference between building civilization and destroying it. Ironically, our enemies love to fawn over the so-called brotherhood of man, even as they seek to erase particular identities. R.J. Rushdoony, in his book, The Roots of Reconstruction, describes this as the statist integration of races, nationalities, and cultures to form a homogeneous blend in which all of the distinctives of each are lost. The God-given personal identities and ways of white, black, oriental, and other people are offensive to these statists. They seek to create a humanity that has no personal identities but acts, responds, and functions in terms of social evolutionary plans. Theirs is a plan for the death, and they call it life. As G.K. Chesterton said, if you choose to lump all flowers together, lilies and daffodils and tulips and chrysanthemums and call them daisies, you will find that you have spoiled the very fine word daisy. It is barbaric and reactionary to destroy cultural distinctions between one thing and another because it is like rubbing all of the lines out of a fine drawing. Or, as Polydorus put it, civilization doesn't exist without discrimination and prejudice. If you worship your enemy, you are defeated. If you adopt your enemy's religion, you are enslaved. If you breed with your enemy, you are destroyed. In our time, many men are plagued by depression and anxiety. Peace eludes them, even when they try to salve their fears with drugs. Depression can come dwelling from the past and anxiety from dwelling on an uncertain future. But peace does not come through existentialism or living in the present. To be at peace is to live comfortably in the present while being rooted in the past and being hopeful for the future. James Edwards, Harry Seabrook writes, has the rare quality of being at peace even when the storms rage around him and against him. A great benefit of attending such conferences is the pleasure of meeting old friends and making new ones in between the speeches that are given. But the speeches themselves were so inspiring that I wish I could hear them all over again. And Sam Bushman, owner of Liberty News Radio Network, James has been blessed with a compatriot much like himself who is flipping the script on liberal media dominance. Sam simply doesn't compromise with those who would dilute the message to avoid controversy, and he spoke to us about how the political cesspool has been able to succeed on its own terms, unlike Limbaugh, Hannity, Beck, and all others who carry water for their masters and are afraid of losing sponsors. There was a detailed presentation on Fort Pillow that could have made Shelby Foote proud. Gene Andrews, a former commander of the Sons of Confederate Veterans, described this so-called massacre as the first American racial hoax, as much as the Tawana Brawley, Duke LaCrosse, Trayvon Martin, and Michael Brown hoaxes when you understand what happened at Fort Pillow. Mr. Seabrook goes on, and we don't have time to read it all, but to give his thoughts on the speeches delivered by Keith Alexander, Eddie Miller, our piano player, Tom Ball, Nathaniel Strickland, he writes, spoke about the nexus of Christianity and our kin. Sam Dixon, of course, capped off the speech, the speaker's panel, rather. And then Harry Seabrooks concludes his very well-written article with this. James did such a marvelous job organizing the conference. Even the food that was served to us was excellent. After the speeches concluded, we ate a delightful meal while the cesspool host did a celebratory show live from the hall with audience participation. The opportunity to make a difference in the world and the courage to see it through do not guarantee success, of course. The great R.L. Dabney wrote, "It is only the atheist who adopts success as the criterion of right." May we face our enemies as bravely as General Patrick Claiborne, who said, listen to this quote, ladies and gentlemen. Please listen to this if you listen to anything I say tonight. This is what Confederate General Patrick Claiborne said, quote, "If this cause that is dear to my heart is doomed to fail, I pray heaven may let me fail with it while my face is toward the enemy and my arm is battling for that which I know is right." I'm going to read that one more time for emphasis. Only a Confederate could speak like that. If this cause that is dear to my heart is doomed to fail, I pray that heaven will let me fail with it while my face is toward the enemy and my arm is battling for that which I know is right. As Sam Dixon said, James Edwards is as persistent as the two snails who made it all the way to Noah's Ark. God bless you. Thank you, Harry Seabrook, for that. We're going to continue to crawl forward week after week after week until God himself calls us home. We're going to take a break.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend.
All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Of the 80s. I was born in 1980, and that is the theme song of one of the great campy horror movies of the mid-80s, Fright Night, starring it's a vampire movie starring Chris Sarandon and Roddy McDowall and William Ragsdale. If you haven't seen it, try to find it. I love that movie. We have got a couple of ladies on the line right now, and we're going to get to the second of which, our resident Southern Belle from Alabama, in just a moment. Let's first go to Rosanna. Where's Rosanna calling from, Sam? Another one from Illinois. Rosanna, Illinois, we're popular up there tonight in the land of Lincoln, of all places. Rosanna, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. I've never, ever, ever heard of your show. I talked to my girlfriend, who is, I would imagine, one of your supporters, because she's a big supporter of radio shows that she likes, Karen Clifford in Chicago. And she said, oh, I always listen to this guy on Saturday. So I turned it on. And then I heard you talking about Southern Poverty Law Center, of which I have my own personal webpage on the Southern Poverty Law Center. Spring 2008, I was deemed a nativist, and I'm a woman of Mexican descent. I was one of the original Minutemen on the Arizona-Mexico border. So and I'm a great communicator, so they deemed me dangerous.
You know, and we actually, before, if you don't mind me butting in here, and God bless you for your service, you know, we actually, this was back in 05, 06, I guess it was, before the Minutemen Project really took off and was you know, making wall-to-wall 24/7 news, we had the founders of the Minutemen Project, and obviously, you know, they've come under fire for different reasons, personal and otherwise, since then. But we had Chris Simcox and Jim Gilchrist, and we had Joe McCutcheon and Michael Gaddy and some of the key figures on the border there. Before it became well known, we were having them on. They were calling in from payphones on the border every night back then. That was 9 years ago, if not more. But I remember that campaign well, and I wish it would have continued in its original success. But thank you for calling
in.
You know,
tonight's we all have demons, but you know what? I'm redeemed.
Amen. Aren't we all? Yeah, all in Christ.
Right.
And, you know, tonight's a kind of a different show. If you're listening to us for the first time, I don't know if you've gotten a good read on what we're all about. But check us out at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We're still kind of celebrating 10 years on the air tonight. I thank your girlfriend for turning you on to us, and we hope to hear from you again.
All right. Great. Yep.
Have a good one. All right, let's go to Courtney from Alabama. Now, Courtney was there. Courtney is actually a breakout star of the political cesspool. When she comes to these events, she's well-known. And she's well-known for having called in and been a guest on here a couple of times, and she's well-known for her comments on the blog. She has her own fan club. You know, I was watching her. It's just amazing the reaction that she got there from the crowd, and well-deserved. And so, Courtney, thank you for being there. Thank you for calling in. I know you have a lot of reflections, so we may spend the rest of this hour together tonight. before we go into the third and final, just hearing your thoughts. I know you prepared an outline, and I want to give you all the time in the world that you need to work through it. So Courtney from Alabama, a Southern Belle if there ever was one, the floor is all yours.
Thanks for letting me call in to share my thoughts on an excellent weekend. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Good. Okay. Well, you know, again, thanks for letting me call in. It beats watching Alabama or Auburn football, which is what everyone else in Alabama is doing right now, probably. listen, James, I have so much to cover. I've never been this nervous calling in before. I'm just going to keep talking. Now, if you need me to stop, just please interrupt me and I'll stop, okay?
You're gonna do great. It's your dime, your dance floor. Take it away.
Okay, thank you. Okay, what a great experience this weekend. I would like to quickly give a shout-out to a few of my fans who approached me at this event. You know, there were some who approached me. There were some who emailed me later and commented on the blog. Most of them were from outside the South. You know, there was a sweet couple from New York, a gentleman from Vermont, of course, Jack Ryan from Chicago of Occidental Descent fame, Keith from Canada, a great person, a gentleman from the Midwest who sat at my table. You know, most of these people, you know, all from outside the South who made a point to approach me and say hi, it meant so much to me. They were just as important to our cause as any Southerners were in the room, and I really appreciate them being there. Now I want to do a quick run through of the hosting staff and recognize each of them for special attributes they have. James put on an excellent event. You know, I enjoyed seeing his wife, daughter, soon-to-be son, and parents there to support him. What I really respect about James, is, and this relates to what I'm about to talk about, is among all the divisions and bickerings we have in this movement, particularly online, he stays out of it. He is polite to every guest, even when they have opinions slightly different from his. He holds his tongue at times that most others wouldn't be able to, and he shows the class and courtesy that a radio host should be showering, so I respect James for that. Now on to Keith. Keith gives an excellent tour of Memphis, as has already been said many times. In fact, after this weekend, I think Keith and I should start our own touring company where I book customers for him because three different conference attendees came up to me on Sunday who were from outside the South. They asked me what they could do around Memphis to kill time because their flights didn't leave till hours after the conference ended. I gave him Keith's number, and he gave them an excellent tour. He even toured, you know, gave them a tour of his house. His house in itself requires a grand tour. You know, a nice Southern mansion. I've stayed there twice passing through. He's just a wonderful host. He has a great tour. Every picture on the wall has a story. So that's my shout-out to Keith. Now, Eddie. Eddie warned us about a week or two before this event that he, you know, all the women and children need to clear the room when he's talking. And, you know, I'm the shy, modest, prudish person. So when he was about to talk, I was clutching my seat. But he gave a very, you know, a very good professional talk. And I think he should show up at more conferences and talk. And, you know, and he looks great in a suit also. He should wear suits more often. And then there's Winston Smith, who I still have yet to meet, you know. I'm a huge fan of his, and I'm starting to wonder if he really exists. You know, I'm just such a huge fan of him. I have yet to meet him at any event, and I'd really like to. And you know, and I'd like to round that out by saying, close that out by saying, y'all, you know, I've had my moments in the past where I've disagreed with stuff said on the show. I've disagreed with stuff said in the comments, and you know, I've taken breaks from the website. It gets stressful at times. But in the end, I always find myself coming back to Memphis, meeting y'all, seeing you at conferences, calling in, and it's almost like y'all are an extended family, and, you know, you're always going to be, despite any disagreements that ever come up, I'm always going to be there, and so I just really thought about that this weekend. And before I get into my main topic, I want to change the outline a little bit and make a quick statement about the singing, which I was going to talk about at the end. That was an excellent idea of James and Sam Dixon to sing during this event. It just brings people together. It's emotional. When I was driving back from Memphis to Alabama, that was the one part of the broadcast that I kept listening to over and over again, and it caused me to tear up, you know, the singing of Dixie. And I liked it so much, I think we should be doing it at every event, Amron, every event. In fact, I sent a request to Jarrett Taylor. And he's been busy with the, you know, the whole fiasco with Budapest and Harvard. You know, go to his website if anybody wants to read about that. But, you know, hopefully, you know, he'll agree with me that we should start doing that, because I just think it's excellent. It brings us together and it's emotional. And you know, I'm not sure how much time is left for the commercial, but I'll introduce the topic I'm talking about. The main point of my talk is the importance of meeting in person at these events, as opposed to isolating ourselves in our homes, talking and debating on the internet, you know, going into meaningless debates. And unfortunately, you know, and I used to be one of these, unfortunately, the majority of people involved in this movement, you know, they're confining themselves to meaningless anonymous commentary and online forums, as opposed to meeting people in person. And so I hear the music.
You know what that means, Courtney. So we're going to take a break. When we get back, we will talk a little bit about the quarreling that seems to afflict our movement and our people on the right of center element of the political spectrum a little bit more than our adversaries, or at least apparently so. We'll talk about it right after this.
Messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com, or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com, or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
We fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
My plan is fell on you, and it was strong.
right, everybody, welcome back as we take one more week to look back 10 years into the past from day one to where we are at this present moment in time. And as it continues next week, when business gets back down to usual, and it will, and we'll be there to continue to provide leadership and hope and maybe even a little inspiration as well. We've got Courtney from Alabama, who has been listening to this show, I believe since about 2006, very near the beginning of our run in 04, and we're very appreciative and thankful to her for all of her support over the years. She was mentioning in that first segment about a lot of the quarreling that afflicts our people. It seems as though, you know, I've never been a part of a left-wing movement, but especially among conservatives and Christians, and you even see this a lot in Christian churches today, our people like to fight with one another. Our people like to bicker, and we like fighting with each other so much, oftentimes we let that be our focal point and let it become more important than what we're supposed to be fighting against. And so, you know, my motto has always been to rise above it. We have got to rise above this little ghetto of movement. And I have always tried to present the political cesspool as something greater than perhaps what it is. And certainly I think we've attained a certain level of greatness, but I've always tried to present our work as something very mainstream and something that is above all of the racket below us. And so we don't get into engagements with one another. We don't get into to fights with other people that are out there, at least seemingly doing good work. That's not to say that we agree with everything that everyone has said on our show, or that they agree with everything that we say, or that we agree on 100% of everything with everybody that was even at our anniversary event last week. Me and Eddie and Keith disagree with each other on a lot of things. But we put all that aside for the greater goal, and we keep our eye on the prize. And, Courtney, I appreciate you mentioning that and everything else you were getting into in that first segment. Please, by all means, take it away once again.
Okay, you're exactly right. You have been above, you know, the quarreling, I've noticed, as I mentioned when I talked about you in the previous segment. You know, another person I want to mention is Brad Griffin on Occidental Descent, you know, who talks about this a lot, too. You know, he's getting out on the streets and doing stuff. Trying to encourage people to stay away from the internet, go out and do things. And, you know, I agree with all this. You know, the fact of the matter is that when you confine yourself to the internet portion of the movement, you are living in a parallel universe, not to sound like a science fiction geek or anything, but you're living in a parallel universe that isn't real, and it's full of opinionated negativity. People are coming on there, getting involved in these heated discussions. They're putting down a really hate-filled thought, you know, that only represents their thought for a second in time, but then once they write it down, it stays there forever. And then, you know, they define people the way, you know, they say things about other people involved in the discussion that they wouldn't say to their face at a conference. And there's just all these needless debates that get started, you know, among our people in the movement. Christians versus atheists, white men versus white women, you know, North versus South, Northern Europeans versus Southern Europeans when debating who's white. You know, I think that's one of the most ridiculous topics, and that's going to be my main focus in a minute. You know, and the reason I'm talking about this is because I have spent time on both sides, you know, the reality side at conferences, the fake internet side, and I have learned the hard way over the years. I joined this movement in 2004 when, you know, I was barely out of my teen years. I was still practically a teen, not to give too much information away about my age. You know, I started commenting on American Renaissance. I went to my first conference in 06. I have been doing both, going to conferences and commenting online up until very recently. And let me tell you what happened recently that changed me. Wilburn Sprayberry, who I have admired for a while and who always makes generous remarks about me online, which I greatly appreciate, he has always been an encouragement to me during all the times I've gotten discouraged after involving myself in, you know, meaningless online debates. And it was this past year at AR where I went to him, and I was just extremely depressed over some of the online debates I was witnessing and, you know, some of which I was involved in. And he told me flat out, he's like, it's time for me to just stop avoiding, you know, to start avoiding all of it, to stop involving myself in it, to be above it. And I did just that. I took it seriously. this past April, I had a little mini celebration where I said bye to 10 years of online commentary. That started when, you know, I was still, you know, barely out of my teen years. And I'm just so much happier and peaceful now that I've, you know, just left that part, you know, of my movement history behind me. And, you know, and I went into some examples of the pointless debates that occur online and among our people. And, you know, it's not just that we shouldn't be preoccupying ourselves with that. You know, that's not the only way it hurts us. But it's also the fact that we're giving fuel to our enemies. Our enemies are not showing up at the conferences for the most part and, you know, being bold and protesting. You know, they're, most of them are too afraid to do that. They have easy access to what we say by looking at what we say online. And unfortunately, the online portion of this movement is the most unproductive part of the movement. And I want to focus on one debate that I think is one of the most destructive, and it's the silly debate about who's white and who's not in Europe. And, you know, these debates about whether or not Greeks and Italians are white. And let me tell you why those types of discussions in particular really concern me. There's third world nationalists all over the world. You know, it's not just white liberals, but third world nationalists in different countries around the world. You know, they're all trying to steal our achievements from us. And, you know, it's not so much that they're stealing our achievements anymore. They're trying to go so far to say that our ancient civilizations are not our own. You know, and it just really bothers me when I go online and I see some Arab nationalist or some Hindu-Indian nationalist who's involved in a mainstream debate who's trying to say that, you know, we as Northern Europeans can't claim the Greeks and Romans as part of our heritage. You know, they'll say that they were more related to, you know, people in the Middle East or something like that. Well, yes, guess what? In this instance, it's not white liberals that are fueling that. It's people among our own in this movement, you know, these Nordicists who like to bring up these meaningless topics about how Southern Europeans aren't white. Well, we can debate about how much intermixture there was with Arabs and all that. You know, we can debate that in a scholarly manner. But the fact of the matter is there have been numerous modern-day genetic studies that prove that those people, Greeks, Italians, Spaniards, they are more related to Northern Europeans than they are to most people in the Middle East. And also, watch a documentary about Spain or Italy or Greeks, Golden Dawn, and look at what the people look like. They don't, you know, they hardly look like Arabs and Turks to me. They look like white Europeans who happen to have dark hair. And so it's time to put stuff like that to rest. Our enemies online are feeding off of it. And, you know, and I'm not trying to, you know, shut down free speech or whatever. You know, at some point, some of the stuff has to be moderated online. I'm just asking people to think before they post something. If you are going to consume yourself in the online portion of the movement, think before you write something. And I also encourage people to try to come to conferences, come to reality, meet people in person. And even if you're afraid to come to a conference, you know, network with people around you. I'll be happy. At this point, I have friends all over the country at this point. You know, if you want to send an email to James and Keith, you know, they know people all around the country too. I'll be happy to connect you to people in your area if you're too afraid to come to a conference. And I understand totally, and if you are. But, you know, meeting people in person, that's reality. You know, and there's two more things I want to say real quickly. You know, I used to get involved in these debates and you know, and when you're involved in the heat of the moment, it's so easy to say something that's so cruel to somebody. And every time I did that, you know, it's like a minute later I felt terrible about it. And I'm, you know, if I ever said anything to anybody in the listening audience online, you know, that they took the wrong way or that hurt their feelings, I'm here to tell you that if you show up at a conference and shake my hand, I will be more than nice to you. I mean, that other stuff, that's history, that's not reality, it's senseless past bickerings online. It does not define how I feel about you as a person. And, you know, and what was my point number two? The other thing is, you know, it concerns me that so many people among our people in general are just isolationists. They sit in their house, they spend time on the internet, they involve themselves in these debates, and they get depressed. And, you know, some of them are just ready to go jump off the ledge. You know, they get so depressed, they, consume themselves in these debates, and they think there's no hope for our people. They're just consumed with negativity. Well, I don't want anybody to get to that point. I mean, even if you don't want to meet us in person at an event, you know, send James and Keith an email. You know, they can pass it on to me. I don't mind talking to you. I mean, it's just our people need to go back to our community roots. We're too isolationist. We're too consumed on the internet, and it's not good.
Well, Courtney, thank you so much for sharing with us your thoughts. I'll address that briefly at the top of the next hour, but it's a point that should be made, and it was a point that was addressed briefly at our conference last weekend. We'll take a break. Thank you again.